right, so
that was a perfect segue. This is,
how about you, Bollocker? What did you read?
This is Adam and Donovan.
Your breath smells like squirrel.
Today we have a gathering of.
I prefer taint sniffer.
Devin.
As Devin walks, he's done. He's out.
I am. We have a gathering today of Devin, Sean, Ted, Brian, and myself, Adam. We are here to talk about comics. The topic of discussion. The topic of discussion today, when we get to it, is going to be a. It's going to be Oni Press, who is a pretty stellar small. I guess they're a small publisher, right?
Yeah, they're very. They're very small.
Yeah, not part of the top.
You're not
going to
find them
three.
In every shop.
Before we get to that topic, we haven't done any recap on do you guys read any of your free comics on Free Comic Book Day?
Yes.
Anything yeah. stand out? Anything stand out to you guys?
Of course.
We didn't get a chance to talk about them yet.
The two that three. The kids book that DC did where they melded three of their four kids titles together.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really good effort. I mean, it wasn't like super fantastic or super original. But it was, I mean, Free Comic Book Day, a lot of that stuff is supposed to be an advertisement.
Yeah.
And it was a straight advertisement for three of their kids' books. And, well, actually four. Four of their five kids' books was an advertisement for those. And I thought that was a really good idea. I wish Marvel would have done something similar.
So it was Tiny Titans.
It was Tiny Titans.
Batman Brave and the Bold,
the Super Friends, and the Shazam. The only one they didn't include was a Supergirl one.
Hey,
so, I mean, I really liked that one. I thought it was a really good idea.
Like, everybody had an initial complaint of the size of the Avengers book because it was smaller. Did you even notice it at all while reading that?
No, the book is really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
This Avengers book is probably the best Avengers book I've read this year.
Really?
I thought it was really good.
I haven't read it yet.
That's a little strong. Look, it has action throughout it. It's like well written. The art in it's really good. I mean, it's solid. This is a solid.
It was really good. The same creative team that's been on the book.
Well, I know it is. I'm not saying. I mean, it's whatever. But it ties a lot of stuff together. It's a huge story that takes place
really?
In this. It's
good, really good.
It's solid.
I think it is. I think it's lame. That Marvel did the reduced size, considering that they give the. I mean, my bone to pick with Marvel for this stuff is the handouts that Marvel constantly makes to pimp their shit.
Or full size.
Yeah, are full size. So
so why is this? But
as far as like book goes, that's probably the best free comic book I've ever seen.
Yeah.
As far as quality wise. Because that could have been, you know, New Avengers 52 or whatever.
Yeah, a couple pages, yeah.
Yeah, but the cool thing about it is I mean, because it's the Avengers, it has everybody in it. It's got the Dark Avengers, it has the New Avengers,
Great Lakes Avengers,
and
Texas
it,
Chainsaw Massacre Avengers.
It's got Thor in it, being badass. I mean, this so solid, so solid.
Archie stood out for being cheap and just reprinting comics and pissed me off.
Well, a few weeks ago, we did our Canadian contribution to comics show, and our Canadian friends have Free Comic Comics Festival,
Free Comic Book Day,
from Free Comic Book Day in Canada.
Is it about hockey and wrestling?
What was the boots?
I don't remember if there is some wrestling ish in here, pirates and stuff. I don't know if there's any hockey.
It's about getting drunk at a wrestling match getting drunk at a hockey game that turns into a wrestling match.
It does have Faith Erin Hicks in it, who we spoke about, and
it was
I enjoy
solid.
Her stuff. It was solid. It's a bunch of creators. Anthology of sorts.
What store did you pick that up at?
I think I got this at Heroes. Aren't hard to find. And
any Darwin Charlotte in there or no?
No, Darwin Cook. I haven't heard of most of Matt Forsyth. I've heard of him.
You haven't heard of most of those people? About?
No, I haven't.
Really?
I mean, I've heard of a few of them, but I haven't heard of most of them in here. But that could just be me.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Anybody read anything that wasn't a Free Comic Book Day?
Yeah.
Book?
Yeah.
Lockjaw and the Pet Avengers.
That's what I was. Okay, Lockjaw and the Pet Avengers.
You laughed. That was fun.
When I look, I was reading the list of books come out,
that book.
And I get to this one. I'm like, Lockjaw and the really is this a book really? And I look it up and I'm like, dude, really? And so I was like, well, it could be cute though. It could be a really fun book to read. So I went ahead and I picked it up. I flipped through it. The art looked interesting. I picked it up. Dude, that book was so much fun.
Yeah, it was. I read it, even characters,
I was listening to the list of characters, like Miss Lyons in it, and she is annoying as hell in that book. And she's like,
power. Well, in all fairness, she was annoying in the cartoon too.
Yeah, like Miss Lyons in it, and then Speedball's cat is in it. Who has decided his name is Furball?
Hairball.
Hairball.
He changes his name to Hairball.
And
Should his name be like penance related?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because he changed it now.
Penance balls.
But penance balls. But Throg. And I was like, Throg, really? Because you remember back in the day, there was where Thor got turned into a frog.
Right, Loki turned him into a frog or something.
So anyway, like there's a this isn't who this is. It's a different frog. It's hilarious, man. It's like sounds so lame, and I think that might be why it's fun because it is. And like Lockheed is completely emo because Lockheed's in it because he's like why even have friends? It's like my best friend. I had my friend. I was supposed to take care of her. She's gone. She flew away.
Wasn't Lockheed in the bullet?
No.
Oh,
Lockheed can't face her.
What's the opposite of being intrigued by an idea?
Oh man, it sounds.
I'm
so
intrigued.
But it was a fun book.
Was this a book that was written? Is it like kid friendly?
It's kid friendly, but it's not like a Marvel Kids book or anything. But it's definitely kid friendly book.
Is it really like the Doctor Doom and the Masters of Evil book?
Probably.
It's obviously slanted for people that have obviously been reading comics. That series was awesome.
Yeah, so, I'm glad
Marvel's doing stuff like that, stuff that's accessible.
Dude, I thought it looked like the dumbest idea. I read the book. Everybody who I've read reviews of that has read that book has enjoyed it. So basically anybody who's given it a chance has enjoyed it. I got other books I've read that I'd be happy to talk about unless somebody
Fables,
else wants to jump
that
in.
That whole crossover is awesome.
Man, it has been so good.
Yeah, it is. It's really good.
It is so good.
Now, like, well, it's through Fables and Jack of Fables.
And Literals.
And Literals.
Okay.
Have we talked about any of this stuff before?
Not really.
Okay, but you guys read Literals, right?
I've read.
What is?
Well, it's okay. We talked.
It's basically it's a sub story.
Don't spoil anything.
Because you know they have.
Right, I won't spoil anything.
They have Fables and they have Jack of Fables, and they've basically started.
You jumped in though, right?
You know, like Marvel does their crossovers. Like they have Mighty Avengers and Avengers, but then there's also Secret Invasion. You know, like this is
literally
this is
like one of six or one of five.
Yeah,
or
this is like the mini
series. So it's a mini series
that ties
into
the crossover.
But were you reading Jack of Fables, Devin? Were you reading Jack of Fables at all? Do you know what like literals are and all that?
Yeah,
Do they have something to do with the library?
Yes,
all that stuff.
Yeah,
okay. I read one through probably nine of Jack and Fables.
I have
Jack
all the trades.
Yeah,
I haven't really.
Yeah, I have all the trades.
You need it because I read that Jack Fable stuff is really interesting,
and then that literals was really good.
It's amazing. Like while I was reading Jack, because nobody I talked to reads Jack Fables, and you said you thought it was getting worse and worse. Ted.
Oh, it changed that last trade. Well, no, I didn't get the trade. I caught up on all the issues.
But
so good.
The entire time I'm reading Jack of Fables, I really enjoyed it. But the entire time I'm reading, I'm like, how are people that are reading Fables not reading this book? Because this stuff seems really important to Fables lore.
And
then they do this crossover, and it's like, it's definitely important to Fables lore.
Yeah, I need to go back and read
I want to ask you guys one thing about the literals then. This isn't spoiling anything. Did you know when they show like the guy Kevin?
Yeah.
There was always the...
Yeah, the guy in the straitjacket. Yeah.
I'm like, so is this going to end up being like a... By the way, he's just a nut job, and this didn't happen. I don't know. Like,
I don't think so.
Because it's him. I don't know if you looked at it. It's him.
Yeah.
So
well, it's like in Jack of Fables.
Well, is this the writer, the reporter guy?
He's been in Fables before.
Yeah.
He's been in Fables.
Yeah, when he moved in the neighborhood.
Remember when they started
asking? Who was Gretel? Hansel rented the room from him. Yeah.
So you're thinking the end game is that this guy is just nuts and saw.
I'm thinking it could be there.
I don't think it is
because literally every scene of him.
Maybe that guy is a safety net if they ever want to end the series.
I don't know.
Obviously, Fables can go on forever.
Every single frame they show him, he's in a straitjacket.
If that creative team ever decided we're not going to do this anymore, we want to end the series, that guy...
All hell's going
like,
to break loose.
Your idea gives them a way out to end the series.
You know, and I guess, but it's good if you're reading Fables. You definitely need to read some of that Jack Fable stuff and tie in stuff. But yeah, anybody have anything to say in Walking Dead besides holy shit?
Haven't read it yet.
Uh
oh, scared.
Come on, that's
all I'm gonna say.
That was fucked up.
I described the whole thing. Oh my god.
Devin hasn't read it.
Yeah,
I won't say it. But they alluded to it like a couple issues ago ago.
Yeah.
And it flew over because there was so much other shit in that issue. And I thought about it, I was like, and I went back and I was like, fucker, you gave it away. You told me something was going to happen. I didn't pay attention.
Yeah. That's how he does. That's how he does stuff with Walking Dead. Is he drops?
You got to read.
He drops little hints.
It's like 3 pages in. You'll see it.
He drops little hints about something awful that's going to happen, and then 3 issues later, something awful happens.
Yeah. All right, well, can I say something which is not really a spoiler because it doesn't ruin anything? It's just my guess. I will put money against anything that preacher guy showed up. It's not going to be a good guy.
Oh no!
Oh no! Especially with the
nobody who believes in God
and the whole the dead does not stalk, the dead does not hunt, all that stuff that's been out there. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's linked in with those guys.
Yeah,
I'm going to go out there and say that he's okay. So now I'm lying. But then now I'm nervous
because we think that he'll be a decent guy.
Now I'm saying now I'm bouncing all these ideas off you.
You'll be wrong.
I'm wrong.
Yeah,
like because T and I had the same, and this is kind of jumping off, but T and I are having the same argument about the Adam Eve stuff that's coming out. I'm thinking just because everyone thinks she is a sure deal, she's a goner, that she's not gonna die. But I'm just hoping because I love her.
The fucking phone's back.
The phone
comes with Walking Dead. What I said on the forum is. And pretty much my general response is I keep expecting that. For him to run out of disgusting, depressing things to do, and he doesn't. which makes me, wonder about his life.
All right, well, okay, well.
Fucking wow.
Okay, there you go.
He hasn't got to it yet.
He got.
I think I did.
Yeah, he got to the scene.
The fucking twins?
Nope.
He
got the part of it.
That's part of it.
It gets more intense.
All right. Okay. No! Being ridiculously general.
Holy bejesus.
The second part related to the twin incident.
Yeah.
I literally closed the book at that point and thought about how do I feel about that? I mean, it makes sense. Then it's like
it is, but it's still not good.
Oh,
because.
No.
Because you still have.
It's not a good thing.
One thing is, you got to look at
this. Hurry up.
It's not healthy. It's not healthy at all. But
yeah, exactly. That's my point.
But it makes sense.
You got to throw out.
Everything's black and white, just like the book.
Well, okay, can we just circle back in 10 minutes on this?
Okay, So anyway, let me just say, I went ahead and picked up Wolverine number 73. A lot of people were excited when they saw Wolverine coming out because they're like, sweet, more Old Man Logan. Not the case. Old Man Logan's going to be finished up in a one shot.
I don't know how many. No.
What?
Okay, I don't know how many times I've had to explain this. Okay, 73 came out before 72. 72 is part 7, which will come out at a later date.
So 72 hasn't come out yet?
Part 8 will wrap it up in one shot.
So 72 hasn't come out yet.
They skipped an issue.
And that issue will come out later. I've never heard of one shot.
Yeah, I thought my fucking math was right.
Do they have a different artist or something on between 72 and 73?
And 73 and 74 are a two-part, two-story, two-part. Each one's a two-parter, so there's two stories.
That's not it. That's not all. And issue 75 begins Dark Wolverine, where it's all about Wolverine's son, Dakin, or Dakin.
Dream Warrior!
Yeah.
Who's,
I call him Dakin. I don't know
who's writing it. Who's writing that?
I don't know.
It's not Jason Aaron's writing.
Does
Weapon
it matter?
X.
It's about Dockin. Right.
So okay, I'll be able to read Old Man
if
Logan
Jason
in a trade like sometime
Dockin,
in 2010.
I would read it.
Yeah. If I was writing a book about Dockin, I wouldn't read it,
dude. Okay.
Okay. Dakin. I'm sorry.
Well, let me say,
I'm coming down on Dakin. I think it's Dakin.
I call it Dakin.
I wasn't
just Dakin because of the rock.
It's Dakin.
Yeah. It's Dakin.
You know, spelled completely
Dakin.
I think it's Dakin.
I think it's Dakin.
I wasn't gonna get this. I was very torn because the first storyline is Jason Aaron with Adam Kubert doing the art.
That sounds like
which is awesome.
Sounds like
stuff.
A good combination.
Okay, the second one is Daniel Way. Who I haven't read Deadpool, so I still have negative feelings on Daniel Way.
Deadpool,
but
really good.
But the art is Tommy Lee Edwards.
Long distance.
Okay,
high five.
So I think you got to buy that.
Okay,
I think you had to buy it. Yeah.
The first thing I noticed when flipping through is Tommy Lee Edwards drew himself into it.
As he always does.
Surprise!
Drew himself into it. It's like the first page.
I've never seen
face.
Him do that before, except all the time.
I opened to. I was like, "That is Tommy Lee Edwards right there."
I love Tommy.
But
Edwards.
Okay,
it's awesome.
I went ahead and bought it because Jody LaHoop is the assistant director or assistant editor, and that's he was on our Frank Miller show.
Yep.
And he's friend of the show.
Friend of the
stuff.
Dollar Bin.
Friend of Dollar, sort of.
Robert of Dollar Bin.
Yes, Robert's
brother.
Yeah.
Robert.
So I went ahead and picked it up for that reason.
That's what he do.
But I read it. The first story is pretty awesome. It's
It's interesting. It's completely Jason Aaron wrote the first story, and what it is it's basically just like a month in the life of Wolverine. It's just a bunch of like shots. It's like Monday.
It's a bunch of shit, yeah. is what yeah, it is. It's just like,
well, no, it's basically to show how busy pain he is.
Yeah, yeah.
How because it's like, okay, so Monday the shot is with him with the new Avengers. Tuesday he's fighting with the Punisher. Wednesday he's fighting with somebody else. Thursday right, he's fighting with awesome. The X-Men. That's, and it's just like showing how he's on all these teams.
That's kind
of
awesome.
And then like Saturday's his day off.
Like one of them shows him like, you know, Spider-Man comes in and he's doing something. Hey, what are you doing, bro? Let's go get a cappuccino after this. He's like, shut up and fight, you know?
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, it's like the same. Like, whoa, he's like, oh, yeah, sweet, a team up. I love it when you get to work together or whatever. And then like the next week or something, like in the middle of the week or whatever, you see him like side by side with Deadpool, and Deadpool's like, oh, sweet, a team up. I love it when we get to work together.
I think I'm going to get this issue.
And like you can read it in about 45 seconds. I mean, but it's a month in the life of Wolverine.
That's funny.
And that was really awesome. The second story, I think it was well written. I was happy with it. But what I think I noticed is that Tommy Lee Edwards makes everything cooler.
What a surprise. Wolverine hangs out with hoes on Saturday.
Yeah. he just does. Like, of course, most of that story takes place in a biker bar, which is cool.
Yeah.
And Tommy Lee Edwards has an awesome art style for a story taking place in a biker bar.
Fuck yeah.
Or for just Wolverine in general.
And it was just that was just a really cool story. The second story, the Daniel Way one, just really cool.
And which Wolverine? This is 73.
And I will definitely be picking up 74.
But 73 and 74 are related.
Yeah, but it's weird because 73 is two stories, and then 74 is going to be part two of each of those stories.
I never
fucking do that shit, son.
Devin is Walking Dead.
And Devin briefly rejoins us.
Okay, so I just finished Walking Dead. Anybody want to talk about it now?
Yeah, what'd you think, man?
Holy fucking shit. How fucking awesome was that? That was so fucking cool, man. Like, I mean, I know it's fucked. I mean, I know it's fucked up.
No one else was willing to pick it up. He picked it up.
Exactly.
He was like, look,
I know it's fucked up and everything.
Someone's got to step
up. But honestly, how awesome is it? You see that look in his eye, and you're like, oh, hell. he's thinking about it. And then all of a sudden, he comes up in the back of the van or whatever. He's like, are you scared of me, too? No.
Nope.
Motherfucker.
And he's slick. He's slick as shit about it, too.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
Yeah, he set it up so that he wouldn't get caught.
Completely slick all right. about it.
See,
and they're like, I guess we'll never know which one of us did it.
Well, they kind of realized it then. It's like, yeah, you know, Carl wasn't around.
But then he said, he's like, Rick said, as soon as I heard gunshots,
he was in the tent. Yeah, he was in the tent.
I said, stay
in
the tent.
The only person that knows is, what's his name, the new guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the pastor saw him.
You could tell that he looked.
No, not the pastor. Not the pastor, it's the other guy, Abraham.
Yeah, he saw him walking
back. Or not Abraham.
You could tell by the way he looked.
Yeah, he saw him walking back to the tent, didn't he?
I don't think he did.
Where's the book? Somebody saw him walking back to the tent.
I don't think anybody saw him.
I don't think he saw him walking back.
They don't show him. They don't show him walking back.
He saw a look on his face.
Look at him after the shot. I thought someone was looking at him as he walked back to the tent.
Abraham catches him going back to the tent, and he gives him a look when they're discussing it.
I'm pretty sure. I remember it kind of clicked in my head. I think someone saw him, or either maybe I interpreted it with where the character was looking.
I don't think that happened.
I think you're full of shit.
It didn't. It doesn't happen. You guys are completely wrong. No. I mean, he gives him
a book.
He doesn't see
him. Abraham gives him a look. But that's it. Nobody sees him.
No,
they don't even show him walking
back. He hears
back.
Him. You talking about that right there?
Oh, okay.
They don't even show him walk back to the tent.
Oh, so he just gives him a look?
He was looking this way, and he just...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It shows... But Abraham's been wily-eyed as shit through since they found him, you know? So
he's a nut job.
Well, yeah.
He kind of saw some fucked up stuff. And this is the thing. I was kind of torn because I was like, okay, it's a really messed up thing. I'm really worried about Carl. But then I'm kind of thinking... Like, what am I judging this against? I mean, you can't really compare him to like a normal childhood.
No,
maybe that's like
can't.
That's his man coming of age man move or something. Like,
I mean, he's stepping up.
There's little Rick.
Yeah,
little Rick there. I mean, I'm like, I can see that.
Is
little
it
Frank
Abraham
Castle?
I'm thinking. Of?
I think now we're
Abraham's a new guy. I mean, what's the black
he
guy?
He watched his mom and his little brother or sister or whatever get blasted to fucking smithereens.
Here's another one of my predictions that isn't based on shit, but my gut instinct: Rick's gonna get killed off in the book. They're going to jump ahead like 4 or 5 years. Carl's the new leader.
I see it.
Throwing it out there.
Real quick, Adam, did you read Young Liars?
Yes.
Is it still fucking crazy as hell?
Yep, only 3 more issues left.
Really?
It's ending at 18.
Really?
Yep, it got cut because of sales. Because
Devin, you know the internet exists.
And lack thereof.
I don't like to read. But see, whenever y'all look at
that. You heard a dollar bar about to be in forums, because I don't even read that book, and I knew that just from the forums.
Yeah,
so.
I've been all away from the forums here lately.
Lately.
There's a thread on there called Devin Sucks.
Devin has 12 posts all from the same 2 days.
Yeah, I was on it for like a week. And then like I just died off. But no, but the reason I don't read that kind of shit online is because, I mean, you guys, you fucking, y'all make me not want to read that shit, because all of a sudden it's like, y'all already have the fucking spoilers, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really want to know what's happening all the time.
I avoid all that stuff.
Yeah,
I don't read much of that either.
But it's hard to avoid it sometimes.
I know it is.
But some sites make it impossible.
Yeah.
Like, DC and Marvel will get their solicitations to sites.
Yeah,
will spoil what's going to fucking happen.
I mean, I don't read Newsrama. I read our forum. That's the only thing I read. I don't go anywhere else, really. I mean, that's it. And
I
think it's great because a lot of people on our forum.
Well, how'd you know Young Liars was being canceled?
Well, because people on our forum will announce things like that. So that I can just go to our forum and get all the information.
The Black Glove drops all of my news headlines, I guess, so I appreciate him.
Which led to one of my favorite Adam responses on the forum. Do you people even listen to the show?
Yeah. Well, he's like.
So does anyone else read this? Like,
really? And my response would have been, no, they don't.
Well, I've actually, I think, like, by reading a lot of our forum posts, I can almost say that half the people that post on our forum do not actually listen to the show.
Gosh, I've got to say that I'm very disappointed that this only has three issues left.
Three issues left. And basically, I read the interview with David Laffam. He has an ultimate ending,
yeah,
but he's not going to use it.
Because it would take too much to get to that point.
Well, it's funny. Like a while ago, he wrote the ending.
Yeah.
So that when he knew eventually it was going to get cut.
Yeah.
And when it got cut, he could be like, I already know the ending.
Yeah.
So, but he said that still he's going to give it an ending with an out and hope that he can get another mini series or something or one shots down the road.
Well, what if he doesn't?
We're just never going to know.
That motherfucker.
Why'd he even say that?
That's kind of lame. That's kind of lame.
But so he has an ultimate ending, but he's not going to use it.
Well, maybe they'll
that
pull
sucks.
The...
No, no. The more I think about that, if I was really into that book, I would be very upset with him saying that.
Well, and maybe they'll end up doing like a... Say he tries for a little while to get like the whatchamacallit, you know, like the little miniseries to go out, which probably he could. I mean,
I think so. I mean,
it depends on how much it's selling.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing. Okay, here's the other thing. And all right, this actually pulls us into the topic of discussion that I still would like to cover since everybody's here. One of the reasons that a lot of people they're saying is because it got canceled because the sales weren't very good. But when you talk to a lot of people who read Vertigo books and books like that, you know, Fables and all that, everybody buys them in trade. People don't buy Vertigo books very often in the issues. They buy them more often in trade. So they wait, and those things don't get taken into consideration when selling comics. Like they'll
that is
cancel
so
it.
Stupid.
But,
I agree that that's an issue, but I also don't think that the publisher's way of fixing that is to continue to release single issues that aren't being bought. They need to just send that stuff directly to trade.
Now, the argument to that is I was on Oni Press's website.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a fact section. One of the questions is, how come Oni does like pamphlets still instead of just doing trades? Because really, they almost only do trades. But like, you know, a few of the books, local whiteout books, some of the books still
some
come
of the books
out.
Came out in pamphlets.
Yeah, in pamphlets. And their answer is they use the revenue from the pamphlets to pay for the trades. Is one part of it. Another part, but as a company, it might make more sense with Oni also, because Oni, so like Krogan's Vengeance came out in hardback only, which has got to be expensive to print. And yes, you got paid for it when you buy it, but even to get the money to print that book, they sell the pamphlets and they use that money, that profit, to turn it back into trades and hardcovers, and then they sell those. The other reason that they gave is because... You know, some people want to read a book every month, maybe, you know? So, or, of course, with Oni, you don't often get their pamphlets every month. Like, Whiteout comes out however so often now, and Local took, what, 3 years
2.5 years for a book that was supposed to take a year.
12 issues to come out. But yeah.
And with a company like Oni that's not one of the biggest, sometimes you're not going to find the pamphlets at all.
Right. And a lot of them, I mean, like Scott Pilgrim, you know, Krogan's Vengeance, a lot of the books don't come out in pamphlets at all. But that does bring us into our topic of Oni Press.
Yay, good segue.
I guess as far as what goes to talking about Oni Press, they don't print a lot of books a year. Most of their books are black and white on the inside. It's a small publisher. Any like real information about like, you know, I can't remember the guy's name who started it or any of that stuff, just go to the website. It's onipress.com. I mean, we're here to just kind of discuss the books more than the company and where it came from or why it started. That's all in the facts section. It's a fun fact section to read, too. They have funny questions and things like that they answer. But I guess the bulk of what we've read here with the Dollar Bin, because, I mean, again, they've done a lot of books. Some of them I've never even heard of until I looked at the Oni site.
Right.
You know, they're not big on advertising. A lot of it's word of mouth that I've seen with Oni.
And they're one of the companies like Top Shelf.
Yes.
That hit conventions. Mm-hmm. With the purpose of trying to get their name out a little bit more, even to the extent where, like a lot of times at the Top Shelf table, like their big star, as far as we're concerned, Andy Runton, will be at their table and not an individual table.
Right.
Oni, I've seen in some places, Oni will do both, where they'll have their own booth, and then they're kind of sponsoring some of their other people being there, but will give them other tables.
Yeah.
So you're actually getting hit by them a couple of times as you walk around, which is also a pretty good idea.
Yeah, it's like Chris Schweitzer was right across the aisle from Oni, but he was in Indy Island.
Right.
And that he's, you know, who does Krogan's Vengeance.
And he took us over to go introduce us to the Oni Press guys.
Mm. Yeah. And they're really nice guys. I mean, what are they? Portland, Oregon is where their home base is. And it's a small company. And, you know, they treat the people that they work with well. And
now, obviously, we don't know a lot about the economy of their dealings with people. So we can't really. I mean, even the stuff that we know, like as far as what Chris has told us, that's not, you know, public information. So it's not like we're going to share. But but creatively with their people, one of the things that I'm really impressed with them is it seems like they don't want to hire somebody to give them something to produce. Yeah. They want to make a relationship with a creator that they have confidence and interest in and then make something both of them are proud of.
And I don't know if it's still up. I can't remember. But if it's not, you know, I'll go ahead and throw it up. That first interview that we did with Chris Schweitzer at Free Comic Book Day last year, he talks a lot about his relationship and how he got started with Oni and why he signed with them. So that's all in there. If you want to go back and listen to that, they'll tell you more about Oni and how they do their dealings.
I think it's still on the site.
Okay. If not, I can put it back up.
If it's
up.
Not, it's your fault or Chris's fault.
Yeah, it's Chris's. He took all the back stuff down. But that's cool. As far as books go, I think there's four main books that, for the most part, we've all read or at least are familiar with.
Right.
And those are, the first thing I saw from Oni was Local. So we're going to talk about Local today. We're going to talk about the big hit Scott Pilgrim that everybody loves, Krogan's Vengeance, as we mentioned, by Chris Schweitzer. A few other things here and there, I guess, we'll throw in. Black Metal.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Devin and I have definitely read Black Metal, and we can talk about that some. And then I also have Hopeless Savages, which has been on my to-read shelf for over a year now, and I really want to read it. I've definitely heard good things about Hopeless Savages, and that's also by Oni.
Your to-read shelf, the places where expensive books go to die.
It's true. I'm getting through them. What do you guys want to start with? You want to start with Local?
Puppies. Yeah, let's go ahead and get it out of the way so I can go ahead and be pissed at Ted for
get the fight out of the way and then make up over something we all like.
Exactly.
Whatever.
I've only read the first issue.
And it sucked. Okay. Local.
It didn't really pull me in.
Local is how I met Devin, okay?
Aww.
I met Devin due to Local.
Now everybody loves it.
Local is the reason that Devin is on this show.
Whoa, wait. Oh, the reason why we tell Devin he's on the show?
Yeah.
Not the real reason?
Okay, Local's by Brian Wood and Ryan Kelly. It came out, like we said, over about 2.5 years. It's 12 issues.
It's very sporadic.
Yeah, and it was like, you know, going to the comic shop and being like, oh my God, there's an issue of Local.
Yeah.
You get really excited. And I think Ted, who didn't enjoy Local,
didn't get to experience that. No, so I don't know if that hurt his experience.
Because I read it in collection form.
Because you read it,
you read it in like 20 minutes.
And, and let me just say that I looked at the individual issues when you guys had them as we were doing the shows.
Yeah.
That collected edition's sweet.
Oh, yeah. It's a
do they not,
great...
they don't put the playlists and stuff?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They're all in. They're all connected.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and it's like, okay, so Local came out, and it's high quality. It was like, it began black and white inside. Ryan Kelly's art is awesome.
Awesome.
Do you like his art at all?
I agree with that, yeah.
You do like his art?
It looks great.
I was confused.
So you just didn't like the writing, I guess.
I didn't know what was going on.
I guess we can get more into the. I don't know. Do you want to go into this individually, or do you want to like talk like overall?
What do you mean, like issue individually?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you want to.
Well, no, I'm not going to talk about each issue of Local.
Well, I mean,
especially since it's collected now.
The thing is,
would you like me to sum up what I think your problems are before you start?
Yeah, good. What do you got?
All right, you both really got a kick out of getting it monthly. And not monthly, but
sporadically.
But you guys both really look forward to the issues, and like you said, it was a nice surprise when it was there. So you guys looked at it from a kind of a single issue standpoint, that somehow was kind of connected.
Right.
Ted wanted to read a complete story, start to finish, that meant something, and as a collected edition, that book doesn't do that.
Well,
no,
it doesn't collect well as a. Here's a story called Local.
I think one of the problems is when you're reading Local, like when you first start reading, like when Devin introduced, I think it was like maybe three issues in, maybe four or something when I started reading it, and Devin let me borrow them. And one of the things about it is these first few issues, they're not all about Megan.
Yeah.
So you're four issues in, you've read a couple books that where it seems like Megan is the main character, but she's not the focus of every story.
Right.
And so, as far as you know, Local is just about being in a time and place. It's about being local to that story. But when you read it as a collection, it feels more like Megan is definitely this main character and you're following her through it.
But she's barely in it.
Yeah, but she's kind of peripheral when you're reading each issue. And you each, and like Brian said, when you read Local, you read each issue to enjoy that issue.
Yeah. Well, and plus, like when I found it, first off, I saw it in Comic Shop News. I read about it. You know, it was like whatever their featured, you know, comic for the month, and they said it wasn't coming out. You know, Comic Shop News, they feature something in there, it ain't coming out for like 6 months or something.
Sometimes at all.
Yeah, sometimes at all. So. I read about it and I was like, huh, you know, it seems like kind of cool. It's in a different town and shit like that every time. Maybe I'll check it out. So, and this was kind of when I first started getting back into reading comics. So I was hungry for new shit to read all the time, you know? And, I happened to be in the shop the day it came out and they had one because I think they only ordered two.
Wow.
And somebody had gotten the other one. So I saw it. I was like, oh, sweet. There's that thing I read about in Comic Shop News. Took it home, read it, and it was just, it was a lot, you know, very different from anything else I was reading at the time, you know, like.
Especially just starting back up with.
Yeah.
When you were a kid reading, probably everything at that point was superheroes.
Yeah.
So now you're finding a bunch of other stuff.
So now I'm starting to branch out a little bit and, you know, read some shit that's not
really. That new world.
Yeah, yeah. So I read the first issue and it was a little, you know, I wasn't really on it too much, but I was interested at least. So I told him to go ahead and add it to my poll or whatever. And then the second issue came out and I read it and I liked it, you know, and I was like, well, let's, you know, see where this thing goes. Cause it looks like it's going to be pretty interesting. Plus, like, it was just a real personal feel to it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's an intimate book. Like it goes into, you know, all the situations in there are basically just like slice of life kind of things.
Yeah.
And then to add that, shut the fuck up. You'll get your turn in a second, Ted.
I'm sitting here.
I mean, it's just like a moment in time. It's somebody's life at some point. And I mean, they handle like real type shit, you know, like I think. I mean, you know, obviously it's not the fucking most normal shit because, I mean, these people are, they've got some fucking problems. Yeah. But at the same time, you know, it had like, you know, the track listing of what they were listening to when they were doing it. And plus there's like,
which I thought was awesome, man.
Fucking awesome.
Because that was the first time I saw anything like that in a comic where the writer and the artist would write a little letter summarizing what was going through their life or whatever when they wrote it.
Yep.
And then also kind of a track listing to the book.
Yeah.
It just made it more personal.
And then after that, you know,
yeah.
And once they started, you know, coming out, then every issue you got people sending in pictures.
Yeah.
This is my local. And then you've got like a whole like stories from them about cool shit about their hometown or how they thought of it. And then they're sending in, you know, their own drawings of Megan and shit like that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was just fucking cool, you know? And then to get that every, whatever, 2 to 3 months, whenever they felt like coming out with it. And, you know, they're apologizing in every book almost. Like, yeah. Hey, sorry, we know this is, like, way fucking late. But
it's been 6 months since the last one. But
yeah.
But
so, Brian Wood writes a lot of shit. And that's another thing I'm thankful for about it is that it got me reading Brian Wood. Because that motherfucker is a badass.
You were already reading DMZ before reading
this,
right?
DMZ before I read this, okay. Yeah.
Ted.
Yes.
You, let me.
You suck.
No. Correct me if I'm wrong. You do not like the character of Megan.
I do. That is, I think,
you
the biggest problem
her as
I have
a character.
With a the book. Yeah.
Yeah. You do not like that character.
Because just where Devin was saying it was like so intimate and personal, like I had no ability to relate to her as a character just because of the dumb shit she did.
Oh, she's all over the place. I mean, but how many stupid bitches do you know like that?
No. You know? See that? No.
She doesn't know who she is or what she's about or what she's going for, so she's always flipping around.
It just flows.
People like this.
I have too.
You know some schizophrenic.
I do. I know people that have moved around that cannot stay in one place because they can't find themselves. I've known those.
And they go running looking for it. And they have to find out at the, you know, at some point in their lives, they're going to have to fucking find out that who they are is who they are. You know what I'm saying? Holmes, where you hang your hat.
And that's the thing about this book. Like, I mean, and I know it's, and I feel like a dick making this argument because it's a comic book. It wasn't very, I mean, there was like nothing seemed real about it. There were like two stories for me that and that's the thing that I say, I really struggle with this book because as much as I want to condemn it, one of the best single issues I've ever read in any genre was in this book. And that was at number 3, that Theories and Defenses, that followed that band.
Oh, yeah. The one in Richmond.
Yeah. That might have been one.
That story, I recognize so much of what I've been through while being in a band in that story. Like, I've seen that. I've lived that. I've been there.
I've never been in a band, like I said. And it affected, when I read that, I was like, holy shit. I was like, okay, because, like, you know, the first time I read through it, like I said, I read in a collective form. Read the first issue. I'm like, okay, I can see where this is going. It's going good. Read issue number 2 with the whole Polaroid picture thing. I was like, okay, this is bullshit. I'm like, if I wasn't already like sunk cost in for 12 issues, I wouldn't finish reading it. That's bullshit. And then I read this third one, which is Theory of Defense. I'm like, holy shit, this book's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, back that's what solidified it for me. Yeah.
And then the other,
what was the fourth one? Was that the one about the two brothers?
I think
whatever?
The fourth one was the when she was in the was that the truck stop already?
I don't know.
Or the cousins?
Yeah, that was a truck stop on number 4. Yeah, that was another one. Is
that
really?
Was a weird one. The truck stop one was definitely weird.
Oh, literally, it's I don't know. I mean,
like dialogue and stuff like that doesn't get you. I mean,
it just
didn't feel natural to you. Huh?
It just didn't feel natural, and like even
believable,
you know,
character. No, not even a believable.
Not
character.
Her, Megan. No, not at all.
You think Megan plays a role. She's more of a role than she is an actual person.
I
think she's more of a specific character than a real person. Like, she has a niche that she's supposed to fill.
I mean, I think in every issue there's a purpose she's supposed to do, and there's like a lesson you're supposed to draw out of that. And I don't think it works. I mean, maybe not for me, it didn't. And then at the end, and I guess again, maybe it's this is probably one of those. Usually, I say is I don't think there's much of a difference in reading trade or floppies. This one, I think it probably did have a big effect on how you take the book, just because I think by the time you guys have been following this book for 2 years, 2.5 years, however long you follow it, and you get to this, you know, evolved adult person, you probably more time has passed. You can, I guess, maybe makes that
we kind of watch the person grow.
You feel like it's a year. I think it's like a year. It's supposed to be like a year in imaginary time between issues.
Yeah,
and I guess you kind of feel that a little more, even if you're waiting a month for it. The fact that I flipped the page and I'm there, it just seems so false. Like, literally, I'm like, so literally, you took a picture with a random guy out of college, and that signaled your rebirth, and now you're put together, and you're responsible person. Really, that's all it took, you know? That's really what if you see it seems like if you just flip through
that's
the
a good
book
picture.
What
it's like for me, it was more like, you know, almost you're getting like letter updates on somebody. You know what I'm saying? Because it really did take so long. And I mean, some of these issues, honest to God, man, like would take like 4 months to come out.
Oh, no, it was amazing. Like and like the first time I read it, I mean, I was so, and then like, you know, and I think part of it was like, I think I even lashed out in the forums. I'm like, yeah, you know, that book you guys have been talking about for like last year, Local, it sucked ass. Yeah. So like, I got to like the specials, like the end, you know, like in the way this done here, I think a lot of stuff in the floppies isn't included, but they do include the essays, the pinups, the covers,
one of the problems,
the playlist, but like any, like not much like, you know, reader feedback or anything like that, what you're saying.
What do you think of the cousin issue? She's not really in that. With the little cousin?
The cousin one, I mean, the cousin one was, it was okay. I mean, again, it just seemed like a, I mean, I feel like I've seen that movie before. Like, what? I felt like it was kids. I think that was like the most lazy approach you could take to a teenager. All right, well, he likes to skateboard. Okay, he likes to drink. Okay, he doesn't really pay attention in school. Okay, you know, he tries to buy weed. He gets in fights. I mean, that's like the laziest approach you can make
to
a teenager.
Kids in America.
I mean, yeah, I mean, seriously, that didn't stand out. And the other story, there's another one that stood out for me. It was the one about her brother.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
one was pretty powerful. I was like, that's a good story. And that's why I feel so conflicted.
Yeah. Is that the one after the mom dies or whatever?
That one is sick, man. Because is that the one that's got flashbacks and stuff?
Yeah,
in it? And he does a different art style.
Yeah, it's
the flashbacks.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
That Ryan Kelly does. He does a different art style in the flashbacks, so you can tell when it's flashing back. Really?
Yep.
That's like something that Devin said is it seemed to him like he was kind of getting letters,
mm-hmm.
updates from somebody to a certain extent. I really think that's like if you look at the whole book, like most trades, like if you read All-Star Superman, just for an example in trade.
Right.
If you read that in trade, even though it was really good single issues, that story is nonstop, continuing, basically just one really long story over a very specified point of time. And Local's so broken up.
Yeah.
That it just doesn't seem to read that way for some people, because Ted's not the only person that I know that didn't really like that as a collective form, didn't really get the same experience you guys did out of it. I think it's one of those cases where it's not the same trade from floppy.
Well, like I said, there is a lot of stuff in there to take out of. I mean, and even looking at the price of this book, I mean, like you. And I don't know if I told you guys the backstory of this. Right, like literally, yeah. I opened my door and there was a package with this
that's
in there.
Right, yeah.
It was like, I mean, I didn't order it or anything. It just someone sent me a copy of like this collective form Local. I didn't order it or anything. So it was like, okay. So I mean, there's a lot to take out of this, and the fact that like I didn't even notice it until the second time I read it. It was only $30.
Yeah.
It blew me away. I was like, really? Okay. Yeah. So I mean, for $30, I mean, I would say take a flyer at it. I mean, there's stuff in there. Like I said, like Theories and Defenses really just blew my mind. Like as a story, just how much emotion was able, just like a still panel. I mean, just like it was so much emotion, I think, captured in every page of that one. I think it's there's stuff in there, but
like,
man.
Ryan Kelly, especially with his perspectives and his, like, I think he's really good at drawing emotion. He's got the thing, like a lot of his characters have bigger eyes, so they can help show emotion and stuff. But his angles, his perspective, he's pretty good.
One problem, though.
The book looks great.
One problem, every guy in a story looks like with different hair.
That's kind of true. Well, it's funny. Like,
well, there's always a Megan.
There's
in his
a Megan
books.
In everything that Ryan Kelly draws. There's a
three
Megan
Northlanders. There's
yeah,
Megan.
Yeah. That, New York 4 has a Megan.
Yeah, New York 4 got a Megan.
Oh, see, now I have to check Northlanders again because I like that book.
Yeah, because that's Brian.
I just like listening to Adam and Devin say Megan.
Huh?
So I just like listening to the differences of y'all saying how you say Megan.
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 Well, I have all these in the issues, and then when this collected hardback came out, I wasn't gonna buy it until I saw it. And again, like Ted said, it was $30. It's like
an oversized
hardback collection of 12 issues, and I was like, dude, that book was awesome. I'm definitely buying the.
It's
sick looking on the bookshelf
as
there.
A collection compared to like trades. I mean, you're spending, like Marvel, DC, something like that, you're spending $20,
$25
on a paperback trade that sometimes, quality-wise, is a step down from single issues, not a step up. Mm-hmm. And for $10, $15 more, you know, that book is
incredible value.
And again, it's like
really good value.
Oni does the black. Most of the stuff they print in black and white. I do not mind black and white.
No,
I
mean, well, it works in this one. In this book, I guess the only press books I've read. Well, we'll get into Scott Pilgrim later, but it works for the books I've read it with. It definitely works. But I don't know. I think it comes down to Megan for me. I think, you know, in the beginning stories, yeah, she's not. I mean, I think a couple places doesn't seem like she's going to be a pivotal character, but definitely by the time you hit like the midpoint of the book, it's clear who this story is built around. And just not a believable character at all. It does not, I mean, you know, you don't have to be, it's not, it wasn't even a likable character. I mean, she did some really shitty things in this book.
Yeah.
Like, but I mean, really, but I mean, I think that she made mistakes that people make.
Yeah, I definitely do too. I mean, I've
trust some people that she shouldn't have.
I've known plenty of people that
she took risks and opens herself up only to get, you know, to, you know, maybe feel like she was moving into a relationship a little too fast and she runs away, you know?
But, like, okay, she's like, that girl. Okay, the story where she worked in the movie theater.
Yeah.
And her whole thing was that she every night she put on a different name tag. Become a different character.
I like that.
You like that? It was the weirdest.
I would
totally ask that girl out that did that. I think that's awesome. I thought that was an awesome story.
Like, it was like
if I wasn't in an awesome relationship, I would totally ask Megan out.
She's like, well, at the end of the story, she's like 35, so, you know, living alone with a key hanging around her neck. That's pretty much all she has going on for her.
That's because she couldn't. I mean, she.
It took her that long to put her shit together.
She couldn't figure it out.
Some people are just fucking like that, you know? I mean, I've known plenty of crazy bitches that just can't fucking find their way in life. You know what I'm saying? And then, I mean, granted, she's like, has every bad trait of, you know, all of them plus like some other crazier bullshit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Some of it's more, definitely more severe, you know, than what you might usually encounter. But I mean, there's fucking crazy people out there.
Ted, you just apparently have lived a sheltered life.
I haven't thrown my backpack on and gone to a different city every year of my life and been an asshole when I was there. So I haven't done that. I'm sorry.
Maybe you just have some issues with girls named Megan.
No. I think it's a couple things. I think if maybe this book would just be delivered to my door, there's been a chance and I had never heard of it. I've been like, it's okay. I think the thing was I heard so much praise about it, and it's just
and the fact that you hate Megan.
that's gonna
play a role, you know. I mean, if you don't like the main character at all of the book, I mean, how are you gonna really?
Especially
say
when
that
you're
you...
reading it all at the same time.
Did you read that in one sitting?
The first time I did not. I literally read it last night. While I couldn't sleep last night, I just wanted to read over one time. So I read over and I was like, "Yep, still don't like it."
You couldn't sleep last night, and you still got up and texted me at 7:30 in the morning.
It wasn't a get up; it was literally rolled over. Like, is it a respectable hour? I thought about like texting like 5:30, but I figured, I don't think that'll go over well.
Okay, so I waited 7:30.
It
would have
gone over just as well
hour.
As 7:30. What's Whatever. That sound?
There's
7:30 is not a respectable hour to be texting somebody.
Not on Saturday.
Not on Sunday.
Not on Sunday.
Whatever. Do you guys, don't you guys I don't have know if you guys have read my book.
I
don't know.
There's naked boobies
here,
in this.
So I couldn't go to church.
They have churches here. I passed one.
So yep. I guess we pretty much talked about everything local that I wanted to cover. So
it sucked.
Where we take?
But buy the collected edition. It sucked, but it sucked back enough to buy.
It's really pretty.
Ted recommends you buy his.
Email me at teddytarve@aol.com. If you're interested, you can have it. Very cheap. Literally, just shipping. Shipping costs. Shipping costs, and it's yours.
Where are we moving on from here? Are we going to go to Krogan's or Scott Pilgrim? Or
your call. Hey, it's your patio, big guy.
Let's move on to Krogan's next.
All right.
Another...
Schweitzer.
All right, so Chris Schweitzer wrote Krogan's Vengeance.
Andrew. He's what we like to call a cartoonist in the business.
He's what we call amphibious.
I refer to them as just creators in general. I usually say creator.
Yeah, but they call writers creators. Yeah. And I refer to creators as somebody who was part of the, I guess, birthing process of the character.
which
in this point he fits as well. But his style is a cartoonist is somebody that writes and draws his stuff.
Okay.
So I usually go with the cartoonist.
All right, we've talked about Krogan's Vengeance a few times on the show. We've interviewed Chris a couple times. Just a few.
Didn't win a Dollar Bin Award.
It won a Dollar Bin Award.
Best original graphic novel.
It just really needs to be read. And I think just from the Fluke Show and everything, I think we've all talked about how excited we are for future installments. But just talking to Chris about him, I'm like, oh my god, I just have to have the next one.
Well, that's what I was about this.
Before I even read this,
that's the thing. I was like full of anticipation about the stories.
Yeah. You could just see them, like, if he had the ability to get them out one a day, he would do it and just keep them flying. He's all about them.
Paint you a picture,
Chris is,
you know, of this world.
He might be my favorite interviewer that we've done, just because he is. You talk to some people about stuff that they've done. Yeah. And even with the knowledge that you think they're awesome and whatever they did that you're talking to them about was awesome, they don't have any sort of enthusiasm or life about it.
Yeah.
And when we talked to him, not knowing who he was or what he was doing, had more enthusiasm than huge mainstream people that we've talked to multiple times have about stuff that people at conventions or comic fans or people in the quote unquote comic book media or whatever kiss their ass over daily and they could give a crap about it. But this was a guy that hadn't even published it yet and loved it like it was the child sitting next to him.
But I think a lot of it depends.
I can't get tired of that.
A lot of it depends on temperament, because you talk to him about the classes he teaches, like in graphic design and art. I mean, he's just as excited. So I think it's just.
But that's genuine.
Yeah.
But have you read this yet, Devin?
Hell yeah.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Well, it is for, like, so
you
good.
I bought it at SPX.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We went up there. He did so much research into this book. He does months. What did he say? Anyway, in the interview, we posted the interview from him at Fluke. Yes. He talks about doing research for this book. He does so many months of research before even starting writing the book. And then he does the book. And, I mean, it's like, period piece. They're all going to be period pieces. I mean, they're all cartoony and fun, but they're all, I mean, he still does research.
Yeah.
And they're all period pieces.
And as I said, obviously, I think it's obvious when you read the book, but it's also obvious when you talk to him that, you know, obviously it's a cartoon book.
Yeah.
And he's trying to have fun with it, but it's also
trying to have his son tell a story.
Historically accurate.
Yeah. It's a dad telling his son a story. It's completely family friendly. Again, this book, another Oni Press. What, you don't think it's family? What was that?
Why?
He's telling it, but you don't see any of that stuff. It's a pirate story, man. I mean, it's a guy telling his son a story. If he can tell it to his son, then someone else's son could read it.
And nothing's wrong with drinking and dying.
Yeah.
Probably at least like,
I mean, shit. Have you seen like Disney's like, what?
Incredible.
Treasure Island or some shit? I mean, that's like,
you're talking about Muppet Treasure Island?
That'll work too. But Disney, like the Treasure Island stuff, that's violent as crap, man.
I don't think I've ever actually seen that.
Really? You've never seen Muppet Treasure Island?
I don't think I've seen Muppet Treasure Island or Disney Treasure Island.
I've seen regular Treasure Island. Never seen the Muppet one.
The Muppet one's pretty good.
I will definitely watch it at some point. I haven't seen Muppets in Space either.
My thing is, I'll say it's for kids, but I mean, not like family friendly. I say it's like a lot of violence and gun cannon play, I guess. And there's some gun play and sword play and stuff.
It's PG at hardest, right?
Yeah, definitely.
PG at hardest.
It's like PG 9 or 10. It's like 10.
If you put your kid in front of the television.
Dude, I watched Die Hard when I was 8 years old.
Hey, I'm just trying to avoid a lawsuit, okay?
Freddy Krueger.
Somebody buys this for a 6-year-old kid, and their 6-year-old kid runs out and runs someone through with a pair of scissors.
If they're listening to our show.
I see Mateys and stabs their kid. I'm not getting caught up in their lawsuit.
Yeah. What is this, Walking Dead? I mean, your kid's getting a...
Through. Did you watch Johnny Depp being a pirate last night?
No, I was trying to stick with the pirate thing.
That this would be a fun. I can easily see a dad reading this to his kid, reading this book and sharing and just like sit as a bedtime story. You know,
I mean, the Goonies. You hear about One Eye Willie and shit.
Not like ten. I can see younger than 10.
I'm not knocking the book. I love the book. I'm just saying I'm not reading that to my kindergartner. Just don't let him learn about gunplay.
Then your kid's gonna be a pussy, and mine will be awesome.
My kid will be awesome, and he will have a magical teddy bear named Mr. Stuffins to protect him.
I think that if your kid is old enough to read themselves, then that book is perfectly suitable for them. Oh, yeah. How about that?
Fair enough. I agree.
So, but either way, it's again Oni Press. It's a hardcover book. It's black and white on the inside. But I mean, $15.
And well, that is the
Sometimes it can be a hard sell to make to a parent.
The
I believe it. I mean, yeah, the quality $15 is really good. Yeah.
I mean, that is a great book. Yeah. Quality wise.
And there's a picture in the back and the about it author, which is hilarious.
And the
I didn't even notice it like earlier today when you showed it
to me. Talking to Chris, you know, what we talked about with Oni before, for him, that wasn't a battle with Oni Press for him to get it made like that.
Nope.
The only concessions that were made were his concessions. Where he basically had to make decisions that, all right, if we do it this way, it'll cost this much. Or we can do it this way and it'll cost this much.
Yeah.
You know, what do you want to do? And then he made choices between, you know, his perfect vision of the book and, you know, what the absolute lowest he could stand, I guess. And the book is, you know, talking from him in the middle.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, you know, as good as it was, he's not shorting himself at all with that. He's very happy with the quality.
If that was the size of local, I'd have still bought it if it cost $10 more. Like if it was bigger.
Oh, you mean if Krogan's was the size.
Yeah, Krogan's was like,
oh man, I'd love to have it that big.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
But I can see where you were trying to reach, I'm an extreme.
Yeah.
If you're trying to reach more of a general audience, I can see.
I think $15
yeah.
is great.
Oh, yeah.
The thing is, it wasn't like, and usually, like, you know, some of the Oni books, they seem like they're pretty fast reads. That one, that took a little bit.
Man, I flew through Krogan's Engine. I did it in one sitting.
Oh, you flew? Well, I mean, one sitting, but it wasn't. I'm comparing, I guess. I was expecting, like, you know, first flip through,
I was like, okay, this is going to be Scott Pilgrim speed.
I think I read, didn't I read it in the car on the way from, maybe when we went to Greenville Comic Con or something like that? From, like, Columbia up to Greenville.
I think you did.
Yeah.
I read it in one sitting.
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously it's a long sitting. I think I read it, you know, from midnight to 2 o'clock or something like that one night or whatever.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, our listeners, our listeners are into comic books. Most of our listeners listen to or read superhero stuff. But again, I mean, this book, the consensus around the room, even Ted, who has horrible taste because he hated local, loved this book.
I think if you don't like stuff like this, if you've been listening to the show for any length of time, which is nobody that's not in this room,
then Terrence, who you alienated in the first part of the show.
Yeah, which if that stays unedited, won't speak to me anymore. He'll probably like return the Pampers I gave him as a baby shower gift. Used.
Oh, nice.
Use it for my special collection.
I started off when we started this little extravaganza known as the Dollar Bin as basically just superhero reading guy.
Yeah, didn't want to read anything independent at all.
But
it took us a while to get you to read
this book.
Else.
Is if you don't like this book, you know, to use one of Adam's phrases, you don't like fun. I mean, it's just a great book.
It's true.
And like Ted said, anybody that we've, you know, pushed this on to or got it because we said something about it, that we've talked to about it, everybody can't wait for the next one.
It's a pirate story.
I mean, if it was in the store right now, we would be at the store trying to buy it.
Yes, yeah. I will agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Which probably would work out that well at, you know, 10 o'clock on a Sunday night.
Holy shit. Not going to make it work tomorrow.
Special midnight.
break it into heroes to buy a copy.
So taking the next step, I want to go ahead and have Devin and I talk a little bit about Black Metal.
Sweet.
Black Metal is a book by Rick Spears, who's also done, you know, Repo, Pirates of Coney Island, which hopefully the last issue will come out in the next year. Doubtful.
Yeah, we'll see.
And a bunch of other awesome stuff.
Or any of those other books that you mentioned also?
Teenagers from Mars.
Teenagers from Mars. That was fucking awesome.
Are any of those books also from Oni, the ones you mentioned?
No, a lot of them are from Gigantic Graphic Novels, which is Rick's publisher. But they publish through Image, usually. And those are all through Image. The Teenagers from Mars is not through Image, it's solely through Gigantic Graphic Novels. This is, I have no idea what triggered, all right, it's Rick Spears and Chuck Beebe. I have no idea what triggered this book or why this collaboration happened on Oni Press, but it's awesome. It's Black Metal, about this, like, these dudes that are like way into like Black Metal.
Yeah.
So it's not just a
case. It's not just a clever name, no. And it just takes you on this, like, fast... that's another book I could not put down.
No, yeah, I read that quick as hell.
There's no breaks in that book. And it just takes you through this fast-paced story that about halfway through, just like flips you on your head. I want people to read it, but like I want to talk about it too. And I don't know how many of y'all are actually going to read it. So let's just talk about it.
It's kind of like, we haven't talked about Scott Pilgrim yet, but it is kind of like
it does have like, that feel.
But fucking metal.
Yeah, it's a metal Scott Pilgrim. It is fucking metal Scott Pilgrim.
It's
Scott Pilgrim's all indie rock.
Yeah, yeah.
Sex bomb.
Well, it's like these guys, and they're like all about black metal, and they meet this. They meet like what Damien or what I haven't read it in a while, but they're like all like in this metal like and it's just kind of like, are they in like a band
lots
and everything?
Lots of people throwing up the horns.
They kind of just want to be.
Yeah, they like worship this band and stuff. Yeah. They're like way in this band. And you just think that you're reading this story about some dudes that are way into metal. And it's just like they're in high school or whatever. And that's it. You think that's what you're reading. And about halfway through or two-thirds of the way through, all of a sudden, you're in this like supernatural like battle against hell demons.
Yeah.
Like out of the blue. And it's kind of like with Scott Pilgrim, which we'll talk about next. Where you think you're just reading about some like, you know, indie kid in Canada who can't get a break with the chicks or whatever, always running into the ladies and can't hold her, whatever's going on there.
Set all the boot.
But then all of a sudden at the end of Scott Pilgrim, you know, he's in a like he's fighting and getting scores and then coins,
yeah,
you know?
Coins.
It's the same
it's so
thing.
Cool.
It's like you're just reading this normal book and then all of a sudden they're battling hell demons.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
and it's like
These are both dudes?
Huh? Like, yes, we are the chosen ones.
So.
They are.
Yeah, it's been a while since I wanted to reread it, but I just didn't get a chance to. But like, I will definitely reread that book again.
Like the art style, I mean, it's like the same kind of digest style, I guess.
Yeah,
The Scott Pilgrim is in, and the art style is also kind of along that same way. So I mean, it kind of seems.
And like I guess Scott Pilgrim was already. It was probably about halfway through the series before, because Black Metal came out what, a year and a half ago, maybe.
Yeah.
So Scott Pilgrim was already rolling, but they're going to do another. They're doing a volume two of that. They're going to do a volume two of Black Metal, which I'll definitely be buying.
I'll pretty much buy anything that's got Rick Spears' name on it.
Oh yeah, me too.
I mean,
but like, yeah, there's. Oh god, it's just a fun book. And again, it's how much is that, Ted? That's paperback.
It's like $12.
$12.
Yeah, $12.
But still worth it.
Yeah, definitely.
It's digest size.
It's like a dollar a minute.
It's about
does
size.
Take you to read it.
manga
size.
When stuff is that size, that manga size. Digest size. Then I think that's a good, you know, decent pricing for like if I wouldn't. There's a lot of books I wouldn't want to read that way.
That book is awesome, awesome metal. If you're into like metal and you're into comics, then you'll be into that book.
Yeah,
because those kids are just like the, you know, they're the kind of like they have like the hair in their face and they have to like brush it out, but they're not like goth kids. They're like the metal kids like that.
Brutal.
And
most brutal little comic ever.
But I cannot wait for the second volume of that. Bam!
It's gonna be friggin' sweet.
That's all I can really say about that besides it's awesome and it's metal. That leaves us with Scott Pilgrim,
which I just read the first volume of.
What'd you think of that, Devin? You just read the first volume.
I liked it.
Did you?
Yeah, I'm borrow the rest of them if Ted will let me.
Feel free.
My first impression of Scott Pilgrim was I bought the first issue. I bought it at Acme Comics. Everybody kept talking about it. Everybody told me I'd love it because it's my style. It's like right
up
my alley.
Oh, it's definitely up your alley.
I thought it was okay.
Definitely up your
alley. Really? Yeah, I did. I really, the first volume of Scott Pilgrim, I enjoyed it. I didn't dislike it, but I wasn't going to buy the rest. I bought the first book and I was like, I'm not buying the rest. But then Ted let me borrow the rest. And so far I'm up to volume 4. And I got to say, volume 4 is by far the best one I've read so far.
Wait till you read number 5.
And I mean, not to say that they're bad, but I don't think it was a viable series for me up until I hit volume 4. Like I would consider buying volume 4 and just not, you know, having 1 and 4, you know, and just leave 2 and 3 out. Not that I didn't enjoy. But here's the problem I have with Scott Pilgrim. Not enough happens in it.
That's so not true at all.
I don't think enough happens
what?
In it. It just like the book just flies by and I don't feel like I went on any kind of journey at all. It's like all this peripheral stuff occurs and then there's like plot and then it's back to peripheral stuff.
If he was in a different spot
but four,
in Canada in but, each issue, you would be all
in
about
a different
it.
Spot of Canada. but
next
four,
week, Halifax.
I think four had solid plot through the entire thing. I mean, there's a lot of relationship stuff going on in 4.
I couldn't part 1, like, it introduced all those characters.
It just introduces characters.
But I mean,
though.
Like, there's get a story. Like, you get, you know, you understand.
I mean, you get to know Knives pretty well.
Knives.
And Ramona.
Was it Stephen? Was it Wells? Okay. Wells.
Yeah, Stephen Stills.
The talent.
Here's the issue. Okay, with Volume 1, you brought up something, or you reminded me of something. Here's the issue I had Volume 1. I did not like Scott Pilgrim.
What?
Well, he's like... when you talk about a slacker guy, like, yeah. if you talk about, yeah. take out all the martial arts and boyfriend... Yeah. Evil boyfriend fighting and the Nintendo and video game references. He's a normal slacker guy. Like you're talking about slacker guy. That's a slacker guy. I know that guy, but he can't do that.
He's pretty worthless.
Why I didn't like Scott Pilgrim though. I have no sympathy for someone who drags a girl along and he would not give up Knives and he was like dragging her along. And I thought that I was just really upset with him for that.
But see, I don't think that he book was kind of looking. See, where a local, I think, was trying to get you to empathize with that character. I don't think this one was.
But I think
I don't think you needed that. I don't have sympathy for him. You just read and laugh at him. He's an idiot. And he realized he's an idiot.
I was just getting, I was getting frustrated with him. He was frustrating.
Scott Pilgrim gets it together.
But I know he does. Well, he kind of does. But I mean, and that helped. Reading more issues helped me like the character. I like the character now more than I did when I was done reading the first issue. Because I was just like, dude, just let Knives. What are you doing with Knives? What are you doing? Stop.
Well, it opens up and he's what, like a 25-year-old dating a 17-year-old.
So you're 23 already, and she's 17.
Yeah. So you're already like, really?
Yeah.
Really, guy? That's the
But
life
everybody's
you wanna...
making fun of him, which is good. You know.
Yeah.
Like, his friends are making fun of him for
Thank
it.
God.
See, as I was reading number one, I definitely was like, okay, so when is the marijuana reveal? Because I was like, man, Scott Pilgrim goes through like 3 ounces of weed a week. I mean, there's no way you're living that life and going through like hyperspace tunnels through someone's head.
He owns nothing.
There's some major weed going
through
somewhere.
It goes through their whole apartment and it shows like it's like roommate. Scott's toothbrush paid for by Wallace.
Yeah.
Wallace's socks on Scott's feet. They got to sleep together on that little futon thing. Yeah. What the fuck?
Like a blanket on a bed, wasn't it?
His gay roommate.
He's always having like, I don't know in volume one, but he's like his gay roommate is always having like dudes over. So like,
not in the first one.
It comes later.
I'll tell you one thing that was pretty cool about it. I just thought it was funny was that part where they're doing, where the sex bomb mom's playing a song or whatever and it goes through, it gives you the chords and everything and like, you know, at the parts in this good, so it's like it basically gives you the tabs for it. So like you could go through and play the song if you wanted to. I mean, it is what it is, but I just thought that was kind of cool.
One of the issues I had, or I still kind of have with Scott Pilgrim, is I have trouble sometimes telling the chicks apart.
That's why Kim has freckles. I mean, that's the only reason.
I know she's the only one I can really tell. Because even like, what,
Kim's
Ramona?
A drummer, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Romy? Ramona?
Ramona.
What does he call her? What's the nickname?
I can't remember.
But anyway, Ramona, she always looks different.
Well, she changes her hair.
I know, but in,
that's,
oh,
yeah.
the and that's the only way you know her
the,
first.
No, the only time I can recognize her is from the goggles. The goggles, I'm like, okay, that's Ramona. But when she's not wearing her goggles, sometimes, especially like later on, like the girl from the past came in.
Envy.
And, yeah, not Envy, the best friend, Julie.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, that
sitting,
threw me
and
off.
They're sitting at the diner.
That threw me off. I was like, really?
Like, when they're sitting at the diner, it's like, okay, which one of these is the one talking?
Well, the one that what threw me off is when he was telling a story about like them in high school. I kept mixing up Kim and Julie.
I did that too.
Are you dating? Like, I didn't get it, like, because what happened, I read number one, thought it was okay, and I think when I bought number one, I think two and three were also out by the time I jumped aboard. So I bought two and three. And I went through two and went to three, and then three had references like that he used to date Kim. I was like, he didn't date Kim.
Yeah.
I had to go back in. I was like, oh shit, he did date Kim. Okay, now I get what happened there. But that is a problem. I have had that issue too. And like, you
the
know,
dudes all look different, but it's the chicks that I have trouble with.
Yeah. Very blocky.
Except like Envy. You know, she definitely stood out.
I'm a big Envy fan.
Are you a fan of Envy?
Well, I mean, not her as a person, because she was probably the most horrible person other than Megan ever to be created. She's pretty bad. And that's the other thing about that story. Like, it's a simple, like, it dawns on you, like, over kind of time. Like, it's a simple story. You literally can sit down read it before, I mean, in less time than a sitcom airs. I mean, it's like, what, 20 minutes max? 25 minutes if you just read without interruption?
It takes me about an hour.
She's the one on the cover here.
Really?
On the third one.
I read pretty slow when I read. It takes me about an hour.
Yeah, that's the one on the cover.
It's
envy. She's a hottie. You know, yeah, you, like, compared to everyone else in the book, like, yeah, this flip through, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, she stands out, and he's like, the shoe stands out.
Like, tall, like, everybody else is, like, short and stumpy and blocky. She's, like, all tall and long. It's like,
shapely.
Oh, man, I like that. I like that. Like, high boots.
Or as shapely as that drawing style is.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously,
she
if you...
She looks
if you,
all...
like, what know, you need... Well, I don't want to ruin it for Barbie you, but, like, girl, there's, like, a really cool reveal at the end of part two where they finally show who she is. And that's the thing, well, what I was going into. Yeah. Like, even with this book being so simple and everything, it really... You build up interest in, like, these backstories. Like, yeah. Brian Lee O'Malley's done an awesome job in, like, okay, I want to know what Gideon looks like.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to know who these other ex-boyfriends are. I want to know what Ramona used to do
evil
for Gideon.
Exes.
I mean, like, and then...
Evil exes.
Evil, yeah, evil ex... What did I say? Evil what?
Ex-boyfriends.
I...
Really, jackass? Really?
Thing. He did the same
really
thing.
Really, asshole? You just took
they
my
say,
momentum.
They say that in the book.
Evil, evil exes.
That occurs in the book.
He said
she
that
corrects him in the book, like, numerous times.
Shut up.
Every time he says ex-boyfriend, she always corrects him and says evil ex.
Oh, yeah, because, yeah, because I guess that's, yeah, that sets it up that one of them is going to be a, you know.
Yeah, suck on that one.
Yeah.
Now watch.
Whoa.
Eh, I really want to.
It's just a really, really fun book.
Yeah, it is. It is a fun book. And everybody's telling me it's like there's all this video game stuff and there's like this tunnel and there's like reference. And like, I read that and I read the first issue and I was like, no, there's not. I mean, it's like, not part of it's just there.
And that's the thing with the first issue.
Yeah.
It comes from nowhere. Yeah. It's like, okay, you're sitting there, then all of a sudden, like, what the fuck just happened? Yeah. It's like you say, it sounds like just a normal slacker kid. And just then all of a sudden it's just like, really? That happened? No. And I remember flipping back a couple pages, like, that missed something?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Scott is dreaming. And then, you know, like, no, that's just
Yeah, I thought a couple times in that first issue that, like, you know, he was dreaming and shit, and then, but nah, he wasn't.
It's just like, it's like,
see, maybe that's how they do it for the movie. Like, Michael Cera, he's dreaming, and all this weird shit happens.
Michael
Cera.
Oh, you didn't know that? Yeah, Scott Pilgrim movie.
And Michael, like, that's pretty fucking perfect.
Here's a little something we learned in our Canadian's contribution to comic show.
Michael Cera
is Canadian.
Oh, is he?
Yep.
So it'll be another actual Canadian dropping weird Canadian references that I don't get. That's the other thing, like the Canadian references to Brian Lee O'Malley. Oh, I don't apologize for him. Yeah, whatever.
Well, it's
just
like,
throw it out there.
In the Canadian contribution show, like I was talking about Canada and how it's like this mystical land. It's like Middle Earth. We don't know anything about it. For all I know, that could be the way it is in Canada.
Yeah, really.
Like Canada's like the bottom of the ocean.
I've never been
it's
to
so
Canada.
It's so unexplored.
Yes, you
we don't know what's going
been to Canada,
on.
You're
it's
right.
Like Atlantis.
I was with you.
That wasn't a memorable trip, huh?
That was crazy.
Nice. Mythical great so white north.
Yeah.
But no, Scott Pilgrim is solid. It is.
Gotta
it's,
read it.
It's,
it gets so it gets better.
It gets
each
better.
Issue.
And here's what blew my mind. All right, like, because even before I read Volume Two, I'd read Volume One. I was like, it's okay. Same day, Ted let me borrow it. Talking to Dusty from Heroes Are Hard to Find, Dustin Harbin, dharbin.com.
So
loves
picky.
Scott Pilgrim.
He is so picky. Dustin hates.
And that blew my mind.
It's hard to get Dusty to talk about like stuff that he reads.
Yeah.
Like, I always ask him to drop something and there's nothing.
He loves Scott Pilgrim. Loves it.
Just to be the dissenting voice.
Sure.
I flipped through that Scott Pilgrim for the first time right here. Yeah. I'd have no interest in reading that.
Oh, I don't think you would. I don't think you would enjoy it, really.
Oh, it's... Yeah, I mean...
are you not, like,
completely agree with that.
It seems like... it seems like a...
It's angsty, you know...
Seems like a Judd Apatow teenage romantic comedy movie
with
in
less
a
curse
little
words.
Digest book.
With actually no curse
I don't
words.
Have any interest in those movies or in those books.
I don't think you would like it. I think you would like it more than you think you do. But I still don't think you'd like it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I
know what you mean.
I think you wouldn't want to light it on fire.
Yeah, yeah.
But you might not.
You'd be like,
you'd probably
once you
away.
Read it, you'd be like, no, it's okay.
Yeah.
But it's not
you have
it's
no
not really
in
your thing
the next
either.
One.
Yeah.
But you'd make it through this one.
Whereas I'm like dying for until when does the next movie come out? Like 2010?
When's the movie out?
2010.
It's supposed to come out before the next movie.
So sometime before 2010.
I'm really hoping that the movie
capitalizes. On
it's only going to be six, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's the last one.
Yeah.
I'm really curious because
depending
the
on,
series,
on how the movie
there's
goes.
Too much that happens in the series to make a movie. But not enough happens in a book to make a movie.
You could,
I would say it'd have to be volume one and two.
Well, you got to figure. The evil exes stuff isn't going to make it through. I mean, like not in the same incarnation.
Oh, it's got.
Maybe
I mean it's well, got it's going to be a lot of things like they're not going to have evil exes controlling like giant three. Robots that Scott Pilgrim is fighting.
They could cut it down to like three evil exes.
Just wait.
Is that the twins?
Given the character, given the character and the style, who says it actually has to be one of the books?
What do you mean? Oh, it could like it could just be a totally different story.
It could just be could about be. That character.
It could be.
Where they
just
cut
based
it down
on
to
Scott
just
Pilgrim.
Like three evil exes that he has to fight and then.
Yeah,
I just don't see it going that way. I see it
you know,
being like a more of a teenage romantic comedy kind of book.
What they should do is exactly that.
Yeah.
Make the movie about the character, like in the character's world, and then you've got six books you can get people to go buy if that movie
yeah,
comes.
If the movie is not straight from the books, then you can make it
somebody
a part of that world, but not part of the exact story. Because it's called Scott Pilgrim. As long as fucking Scott Pilgrim's in it, you
it's
know,
not like,
it can,
it's not like
it can be
what's the movie? Is it just Scott Pilgrim? Is there like a sub, like Scott Pilgrim, blah blah blah, or
know.
Anything?
What do you mean? Oh, the movie?
Not
like you know, like all the volumes, like Scott Pilgrim's
versus
Precious
World,
Little Life,
Little
or
Life. Yeah.
Scott Pilgrim versus the Universe. And
I don't know.
And it's
I
not like
it.
It's not like Iron Man where you need to do an origin story.
Yeah, it's just I mean, Scott Pilgrim.
It's basically a teenage comedy. You know,
yeah,
romantic comedy movie. Just
I think that would actually be, and I'd be happy with that. And I think anybody that reads Scott Pilgrim would be happy with that. It wouldn't have to tell an adaptation. It would just have to be part of that world, and you'd sell more books that way probably too.
And I'm smart.
Would you not be happy with that, Ted? Would you want it to tell the story in the books?
No, well, not. I mean, like I said, I don't want to even try to for a lot of the weird off the wall things. I think it just or either
that would not translate.
I don't think it would translate well. That was my big concern about.
But that's
the
one
book.
Of the charms of Scott Pilgrim.
But and that's yeah. why. Like, if you go back to the forum, the first thing I ever said about that, like someone brought the book. I was like, I love the book. I don't see how it's going to be a movie. I think this movie is not going to do very well. I think they're going to end up making like a slightly funnier Ghost World. And it's not going to go over well.
Dude, slightly funnier Ghost
slightly
World.
Funnier Ghost
that,
World.
I don't think Ghost like World is
going to
be
only slightly. That movie's going
to
suck.
Was yeah, Ghost no World shit. Supposed to be funny?
There's actually supposed to be some humor in there.
Yeah,
there's supposed
dry.
To be some humor in there.
It's really dry
awkward.
Humor.
Where was it?
Oni Press, not only is Scott Pilgrim going to be a movie, but Whiteout is also an Oni, which none of us have read, but apparently people like it, the ones that do read it. And that's, what's his face?
Greg Rucka.
Greg Rucka, who has an awesome last name. Bring the Rucka.
I've read some of his Batman shit. That's probably about it.
What has he done? His name sounds really familiar.
He's written a bunch of stuff for DC that has been not read that much,
did
but
he,
well received.
He read
Gotham
Central. Checkmate?
Yeah.
He read Checkmate, Gotham Central, did a run that I liked on Wonder Woman, but nobody else read.
Yeah,
and has done like some various Batman stuff.
Yeah, I think he did some shit on No Man's Land and all that, didn't he?
Okay, that might be where I know the name from because I read.
He's getting
no
ready
Man's
to take over Detective Comics with Batwoman and The Question,
and then on top of Whiteout, which people tend to love, which none of us have read.
No.
Also, can't remember the name of the book, but it's one of the Oni Press books. It's by B. Clay Moore. It's about to be turned into a movie, also.
One thing we mentioned a couple of stores is obviously having some of this stuff that we got it from.
Yes.
Give kudos to shops like Acme.
Yeah.
For
stuff like this.
For having indie stuff when they don't have a huge selection to begin with.
Yeah.
And then stores like Heroes for covering stuff that they can sell to their customer.
And Richards, who will order it if tell him to.
Richard. Richard or Abez?
Richard still has a copy of Krogan's Vengeance if anybody's interested in
We've got
running by Richards and picking it up.
Heroes aren't hard to find. Has plenty of copies of Krogan's Vengeance if you want to stop by. Buy two.
And the only person that we personally know off of any of this list has been Chris Weitzer.
Yeah.
I met Brian Lee O'Malley.
We encourage.
Yeah, all of Ted's are signed by Brian Lee O'Malley.
Yeah.
Guy's awesome.
He stopped by Heroes Aren't Hard to Find. Did a signing.
Oh, that's right.
That's where I met him.
He's married to Hope Larson, right?
Uh-huh.
Yep. Yeah.
And we met Rick Spears a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
Hope Larson does some stuff from Oni. I know she was a letterer.
Yeah, she does.
She was one of the letterers of Local. I know she does. She did some work.
She does Gray Horses.
Yeah, she does.
Chiggers.
I've got a few.
Chiggers wasn't Oni, was it?
I don't think it was Oni.
I like Chiggers, though.
Is O'Malley going to be at HeroesCon?
Yeah. I heard Free Comic Day we were interviewing Dusty. He said no.
Really?
I don't remember.
I remember him saying that because I was pretty bummed out.
Yeah, because Ted was like, well, I'm not going then.
Yeah, that's right. You said you're not going.
Yeah, because I want to get number five signed. God damn it.
Yeah, he's not going to have time.
I didn't know that.
By all means, go to their website, onipress.com.
Yeah, again,
check out some of the stuff that
all the different
done.
Creators of different books that they have are all listed there.
And get
there.
An agent to solicit your materials.
I like to have people solicit for me.
You can buy.
I like going through surfaces.
You can buy comics through. They have their books and stuff, too.
Did Onipress do Tech Jansen? Colbert books?
Didn't they?
I don't think so.
I thought that was, for some reason, I thought that was IDW.
It wasn't very good.
Exactly.
It is Oni? Yeah. Oh, so Tech Jansen was Oni also. That was awful. Awful.
So all you Colbert fans.
But yeah, wrap up. Brian, you said it best until Sean cut you off.
I do what I can.
And like we were saying, go to onipress.com. You may not have a great local comic book shop that supports such things. Maybe hard for you to find, but you can find their books elsewhere, like their website.
And I'm trying every Monday and Thursday up from a few weeks ago after Free Comic Book Day until Heroes Con. I'm releasing a sketch video. I got like 15 sketch videos at Free Comic Book Day. I'm releasing one every Monday on our site and one every Thursday.
That's cool.
And if you like our videos, comment.
Yeah, because nobody tends to comment on the videos.
We like them, but if we're just wasting our time, we'll probably stop. So,
yeah. And I would plug the Heroes
remember the whole,
discussion group on Monday, but this will not.
Remember the whole thing, the whole being lazy thing?
Yeah.
Not really doing things at events? The sketch videos are doing something.
Well,
you know.
Thankfully, doing a sketch video involves me holding a camera on somebody for, 5 to 15 minutes. Depending on who the artist is. And then I go home and I just kind of mix and throw it. Those are a lot easier.
Yeah, but that was a pretty hard process for some of them for you.
It was, yeah.
There's lots of crying and arm shaking.
There was.
Speaking of events, if you're at a Heroes Con, you should probably look for the Dollar Bin table featuring Ted Tower for the first time ever.
Live and in person.
Make sure you get your tickets in advance for the gun show.
It's gonna be pretty ridiculous by then.
Speaking of tickets in advance... Are you planning on going to Heroes Con?
You should call up our store and buy your ticket now so you can get the free incentive print. You get the 3-day pass. We only sell the 3-day pass in advance, but if you get it, there are incentives.
3-day pass is also cheaper than buying each day individually.
Who's
correct?
Doing the incentive yes. print?
So it's cheaper if you buy a 3-day pass and you get a print, a limited edition
signed number.
Print.
I have a really
cool
one.
It's $30 for awesome. 3 days or $15 for one.
Yep.
I have a cool Darwin
well
book from last
money.
Year.
Well worth your money.
Oh, yeah.
Heroes Con will be...
Awesome.
The 19th, 20th, yes. and 21st of June.
Yes.
Which is Father's Day weekend.
Yes.
On Father's Day, fathers get in free with kids or something? Or kids get in free with fathers?
Kids something 12 like and under get in free with a yeah. paying adult. But I'm not sure.
It's Dusty. It's going to be...
It's on the
In the near
the
future,
website.
I'll be posting an interview where Dustin Harbin... Shelton Drum, Sean, and Seth of Heroes Aren't Hard to Find all talk about Heroes Con with Brian. That's going to go up in the interview section okay. in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I can never things remember like the specifics, like, you know, when the convention opens and closes on each day.
Oh, but for
even
any
though
of that
everybody
information,
asked me, so I
so it's
always
not like
refer
you're a manager
to
there
the,
or anything.
Well, I always refer to the website. They change.
Yes,
day to day. It's
for as that information
six,
is
11 to 7.
Constantly updated as it comes in.
And available on HeroesOnline.com.
HeroesOnline.com. Also, don't forget to sign up for the Heroes
newsletter.
Hotline.
That way you can find out just as soon as we announce the hotel rates. We'll send out an email to everybody on our mailing list.
Plus, awesome future updates about guest lists and special events.
And Dusty writes some funny stuff on the blog.
Like I said, special events. And
like the newsletter, Dusty writes that. It's pretty funny. It's I do it.
Hit or miss.
special announcements and events is what you really want to be
this is wheelhouse just list the names, give us some comics, yeah, don't willing to funny.
I like the funny.
That B. Clay Moore is the leading man. Thank you, good night.
Sound suits,
yeah, they're like suits and I don't know what.
Suits of sound.
See a member of Stomp the Musical.
Man, somebody's getting blown up.